Amen. Good to be in Believer's Church. People keep asking me, you changed your hair. No, I didn't. I walked in Charles's class and he looked at me like, who's that hippie in here? But amen. I looked at Ray. Ray said, what's up with that hair? He said, I was looking at the front row. He said, and I told him, this is what I tell people. I said, well, I love that dynasty, but I can't grow a beard. I have all these spots, but I can grow hair. And then Ray said, he can't do neither. Amen. So it's good to be with you. And I'm enjoying my time. And so far, I came in on Friday and hung out. And we had a good time last night. And I'm staying at the Sims Hotel. Hallelujah. It's great. I like staying there. But the spirit of Bob hit me this morning. I like to sleep in. I'd rather stay up late, sleep in longer. And some reason, Bob must have prayed that I get up early this morning. Because at 7 o'clock, before my alarm went off at 8, I was up. And I'm like, what in the world's hit me? And so then after that little while, I got a little, you know, I love coffee. And then I went to Turner's coffee machine, and then it didn't work. And I'd done everything I could, so I said, oh, McDonald's, here I come. So I got my McDonald's coffee cup, and I'm ready to go. Amen. Good to be with you. Can report on the kids. Kids are doing great. Shannon has moved to Indiana. He's out of the picture now. Just kidding. He's paying his own bills. Doing great. My daughter is 15 going on 27. Just kidding you about that too. She thinks she is, but she asked me the other day. Said, "Daddy, what are you going to be preaching a lot on this year?" I said, "Prayer." She said, "How come?" I said, "Cause you get your license this year." She thought that was funny too. And then she said, "Well, what kind of car am I getting?" I said, "All depends on what kind of job you get." So she's not liking me too well. Hallelujah. But anyway, that's the way it goes. And then Christian's doing well. He's 9 years old, playing basketball, finished up last week. We played last Saturday. We won 32-15, and he had 18 points. So we're hoping he might play for those Wildcats one of these days. I know Bob don't like me this today. Oh, there's a mute, because my Kentucky Wildcats won last night. But do you all to see the picture I have him of all his Florida stuff after we got back from eating? He put it on. He put on a football helmet. I don't know what that was about. Tammy even asked him, like, why are you putting a helmet on? They're playing basketball. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to talk to something that's dear in my heart, and I'm just going to be real with you. How many like real people? Amen. I'd rather have somebody that's real than fake anytime, all right? And maybe it's just because since I was here last time, I turned 50. So maybe it's just because, 50 years old, sometimes your attitude changes. I don't know. Chuck looked at me a while ago and he said, I didn't know you were, he almost said that old. Then he said, I thought you were young like me, like 40 some. I said, no. And then he saw that I had went to the Bob Seger concert and he wanted to know. He said, I've always wanted to go to Bob Seger concert. How was it? But in my, I guess I have been around for 50 years. I've been preaching since 1988. Been full-time since 2001. I've went through tests, trials, tribulations, and I found out that God has always been there with me. So, I mean, it can be honest, some mistakes I've made, some other has made mistakes toward me. Some has upset me, and I have been angry at times. Anyone else have ever been angry? And when those things happen sometimes in life and you journey through life, and if you're my Facebook friend, I had a friend of mine text me something which was a great, great, great quote. And was talking about that sometimes we go through life and we're always worried about our destination, but when life, we have to realize life is a journey. And we learn things, we see things, we experience things, and I believe God, as a Christian, has our back. And so I'm going to just share with you, me and Bob was talking a little bit as I got in on Friday night. We sat up to about 1 o'clock in the morning talking and chatting and reminiscing, talking hunting stories, fishing stories, all kinds of stories and stories on top of stories. But I told him, I said, Bob, I said, let me just tell you, we were talking about what I've been preaching on and God's been speaking to me. And he made a comment. He said, I'd much rather be around real people than people that are fake. And so for myself, what I've struggled with is I can take a scripture and come up with a sermon. We're all gifted in many ways. But I have struggled in my life by having a consistent prayer communication with God. Now, that doesn't mean I don't pray. But see, what I struggle with sometimes, I would go to a conference, and the guy would stand up, or the woman would stand up, and then speak and say, well, today I'm being talking on prayer. And then they would say, you've got to spend time with God, and I spend 5 hours a day with God praying. Well, I didn't like them. Because, like, who in the world can pray for 5 hours? And then I began to think about, and then I hear someone else say, and they would say they can do it, and they would pray for an hour or something. Then finally, you know, and we in the society that we live today, we want everything quick. I mean, I was going through a drive-thru not too long ago at Wendy's, and I asked that woman if they could read minds, and she said, what do you mean? I said, when I pulled up to the speaker, I gave you my order, and no kidding, by the time I pulled to the next window to pick up my order and pay, she had the bag out. I thought, well, that ain't hot and fresh. I guarantee it. But we live in a society that we want things so quick, and we want it now. Now, God, listen to me. God does not tempt us. Okay? He does not tempt us. The devil tempts us. God will give us test, and as we go through tests in life and we come out victoriously, we then look back and like, wow, God was with us. God was with me. So I wouldn't call myself an intercessor prayer. I've got a person in that's on my prayer list of people. I have people that is praying for you all right now. I have friends that have hooked up with me, and they pray. And I got a long text today, and I could read you the text. And she was on my board at one time, and she sent me along, and she prayed. She said, I'm praying for Believers Church this morning and praying for you. And that's a great blessing that you have someone like that. She was friends with my mom's, and she's a great Christian. And I mean, you know, now she can get wild sometimes. She's old-time Pentecostal, all right, so she'll scare some of you all. Amen. That's why I'm not around, because I'm trying to get this new hairdo. She'll scare me and make it spike back up again, so I'm going to keep my hair this way. But when we think about prayer and we go through things in our life, we sometimes have, here's what I'm going to do a sermon on this later on in the year. We are so much trying to compare ourselves with everyone else that we lose our own identity. So you have to find out what connection, and Clint was talking about some things here today, that as he's, you know, getting ready for, you know, the March 1st and explain the things, you've got to decide that I'm going to connect with that. I'm going to connect with Believers Church, and I'm going to do, and because why are you connected? Because God, through the Holy Spirit, sent you to Believers Church. Not because of anything else, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are called. First off, you have to be a Christian, you know, and loving God. But you're saying, I'm called to be at Believers Church. And so when I thought about prayer, and I thought about praying in my own terms, and when someone would come and I would pray over people, there's times God give me words of prophecy, there's times he's given me a lot of things. But I found out sometimes that we look too much. When one person prays for you all the time, when one person prays for you, you sometimes begin to put your faith in them and not in God. Now, you all can agree with me or not. You can say amen or not. But that's that. I mean, I'm just telling you things I've learned in life. So I began to look at prayer, and I began to think about things. So this is how I come up. I got this sermon. I was going through things in my own life, and I was in Western Kentucky last September. I was preaching in a city called Calvert City, Kentucky. Great fishing area down there, Bob. Man, they got some good. I mean, the anointing just hit Bob in the sound booth. I'm like, he's passed out in the spirit. Don't worry about him. But great. And so I was down there speaking, and I woke up that morning, and I just done a simple prayer as I did this morning. I got up and said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, be with Believers Church, whoever's there, I pray God you'll give me a word, what you place in my heart to help them. And I pray the Holy Spirit, just a simple prayer. As soon as I said amen, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to put that on Facebook and say you prayed for your family and your friends. And I didn't pray a long prayer. It was probably less than a minute. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch all of my family, touch all of my friends, and whatever they're faced with, struggles with, challenges with, I pray you bless them today. I put that on Facebook, and within 2 hours or 2.5 hours when I left for church until I got back, I had over 250 likes. I had 50 texts when I got out of church. I had about 20-some emails through my Facebook account and a bunch of other emails through my personal account, the people that has my personal information. And so for me, how many knows when something like that happens, how many knows God's behind that? And it's just not by chance that you may meet someone or you may, so God began to stir me in that area, and I hadn't preached on prayer. And then it wasn't too long after that, my daughter was a very, she's beautiful, and she won the homecoming court, and we were at the homecoming court where she plays volleyball, and we've been to the state twice, 2 years, colleges are looking at her, hallelujah. Scholarship come to my daughter, so I won't have to pay no money. But so she's and so we go to a volleyball game on Tuesday, and we go to one of our competitors in Russell, Kentucky, and they stood and done the pledge. And I don't know about you all here, but they didn't do a prayer. And then on Friday night at the homecoming festivities and the game, they come over the loudspeaker and they said, due to a letter that we received this week, we will not be allowed no longer to do the Lord's or do a prayer over the intercom. And so now, do you all pray your all's football games and stuff? You all still do that, okay? They lose silence. Okay, so here's what happened. Then they came back and they said this. They said, so what we're going to do now is a moment, they call it a moment of reflection. Now, when I first heard that, I'm going to tell you. Do you all ever do this? I do. Open up your mouth before you think. Say something before you even think about it. And so, anger rose up, and a little like bitterness rose up. Like, man, I don't like they ain't going to pray, bless God. I mean, you're going to. And so then about 15 seconds later, the cheerleaders and the football players decided that they would quote the Lord's Prayer. Now, first I was angry. And matter of fact, I even took it a step farther. I went to the board. I have friends on the board. And I even told them, if you can change this and you don't, you won't get my vote. I told them that. And I even done this. I have a friend of mine that works in Frankfurt at the our capital. And I called her. I also had some contacts, so I got letters from Frankfurt, and they were explaining some guidelines and all that. But all in the back of my mind, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, and our money has in God we trust on it. And our country was founded on God. So why are you taking that? So I was a little angry at first. But now, even this last Thursday, when we played the other county school, and we done the Pledge of Allegiance, then all at once they said it's a moment of reflection, and I saw the other county school, because I don't think they pray it neither, and we done our, and everybody began to break out in the Lord's Prayer again. And I don't know about everybody else, but I felt God there. So for me, what it done, it changed my way of thinking, that now instead of one person praying, tons of people pray. Okay, so go with me and let's look at the scripture here real quick. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we will start in verse 5. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, okay? It says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. What reward will they get? Well, people can see them pray. Look what he says. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, verse 7, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their words... They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Verse 8, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask. Now, here's a question that a lot of people ask. Well, if he knows what I need before I ask, why do I have to ask? Well, that's why you ought to read the Bible, because the Bible says you have not because what? All right? Now, then he says, he says, I want you to pray like this. Now, when we think about the prayer, a lot of times we'll say, well, this is Jesus' prayer. No, Jesus' prayer is in John chapter 17. So you can write that down and read that later. But this prayer, he says, so when you pray, I want you to pray like this. Okay, now let's look at verse 9. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he says, give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Many times we ask God to forgive us of our sins, but not us to forgive others that sin against us. Then he goes on to say, listen, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Now, when we look at that now, how many of you can quote the Lord's Prayer? Come on, raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed. How many cannot? Some people can, okay? So don't be embarrassed. But most of the time when we learn the Lord's Prayer, we've learned it from what version? Come on. You all asleep? Come on now. I'm going to keep on until you say it. King James. We most learn the King James. Now, and I've been around for a long time, and so when something is life-changing, I believe you can put it in a small, short sentence. You don't have to make it real long. Clint's probably learned that through his education, through ORU, and through the training and steps that he's gone through, and your statement of faith or whatever, to make it short and simple. And when I meet someone and I ask him and I say, tell me what God, I was at a church in Sayersville, Kentucky just last Wednesday night, and this guy had got saved on Super Bowl Sunday. What a great Super Bowl. Not the game, him getting saved, all right? And I looked at him and I said, sir, I don't mean to embarrass you and his family. I know his family. And I said, explain to me what Jesus done for you. He said this simple thing. He changed me and he made me and my wife one. He didn't come up, Melvin, with this long list of like, I mean, there's lots of people in the church, like when you have testimony service. And sometimes you listen to somebody with a testimony and you think, wow, Lord Jesus, we need to pray for them. You know, sometimes when they're giving a testimony, they give more praise to the devil for tempting them than they do for God helping them. So I thought about prayer, and I began to put some things down on paper, and I typed this up this week. For the first part of the prayer, he tells us, he says, the first part of the prayer is about your heavenly Father. He says, our Father who art in heaven. He said, let's make it personal, your Father. Not let's make it yours, all right? And then the second part of the prayer is about us. Notice, as we learn about us. So this is a prayer that deals with the entire human being. Now, how many knows there's a Father, there's a Son, and then what? Say it again. Father. There's three, right? So when we think about that, when we think about our human being, what is our human being? What are we made up of? What? Body, soul. Say it with me. Body, soul, and spirit. So we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We have what? Body, soul, and the spirit. So when we think about this, our spirit is to control the soul, and our soul is to control the body. And our soul, when we think of our soul, we've been taught, it's our mind, it's our emotions, it's our will. And what happens is our bodies don't want to spend time in prayer. Now, example of this, remember where Jesus took the disciples and he said, I got to go away, I got to go pray. And there, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he's going to die. And he's telling them all that's going to happen. And he takes his three amigos, Peter, James, and John. And he goes up and he tells them, he says, I want you to stay here and I want you to pray. And he goes out and he goes away from them and he begins to pray. He comes back in less than an hour and he finds them what? Asleep. And he looks at them and said, could you not even stay awake for an hour and pray? So let me just say this. What makes you think you're better than the disciples? But what we do is people want to brag. And we want to compare. And I've heard people, I've been in lots of places. And we were at a prayer thing one time, and this guy was standing, he was kneeling down at the altar, and it was like a prayer before the revival. There was and it was doing great. But I bet he used the same words hundreds of times. And when he got up, he was bragging about he's been praying there for 2 hours. And I wanted to tell him, but if you would have not used the words over and over and over again, you could have been done in 15 minutes. But see, but I'm not going to compare myself to anyone else. I want to try to be who I am. All right? And so when we think about prayer and we think about this and begin to put this together, the first part, look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. He says, let's read it. Give us today the food that we need. Now, when he talks about prayer, prayer is for the body here. Bread. What's bread? We had bread. We had, the elements for communion this morning. But bread is a symbolic of all the physical demands of our body, of whatever we need. It's everything that we need inside our body. All right? So when we think about that, notice that we are to pray. He says, what does he say? He says, in the King James Version, it says here, give us today. Look what it says. Give us our daily bread. What's daily? Every day, right? He does not say, give me enough to make it through the whole week. Give me enough to make it through the whole month. He says, I want you to give it to me. Lord, give me my daily bread for today. And I'm telling you, that's what God changed me is when my faith level changed, is I began to trust him daily. Instead of saying a prayer and saying, Lord, help me through the month. Help me through the year. And that's not wrong. But I began to learn that I trusted him daily. So when I think about that, see, notice that we are not to pray for a warehouse mentality. Now, me and Bob was talking about this on Friday night. I had a friend of mine one time, and he was adamant that Jesus was coming back in 1993. He said, I'll come in his office. I was in sales at that time. I walked in. He said, Kenny, sit down. He said, I got something to tell you. I said, what? He said, Jesus is coming back in 1993, and I've got 93 reasons why he's coming back. And I looked at him. I said, okay, man. I mean, I'm ready to go. I said, I said, you want to share with me any of the reasons? He gave a few reasons. Well, 1993 passed. And when December 31st of 1993 came, I had to go make a sales call on him on January the 2nd. I took off January the 1st. But I went to his office and I told him, I said, what happened that Jesus didn't come back? He said, Kenny, I'm so glad you're here. Jesus coming back in 1994. And I have 94 reasons. So he just added one to it. And so I thought, you know what? He may come back today. He may come back tomorrow. He may come back. Only the Father knows. But in that time, what Kenny Large is going to do is I'm going to pray, God, give me my daily bread. Meet my needs of me and my children. Watch over me. Now, that doesn't mean that I take all of my savings account out and get. He told me, he said, Jesus came back in 1993. And I asked him, I said, you got any money in your savings account? He said, yeah, I got a bunch of money. I said, what are you going to do with it? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, give it to me because according to you, you're leaving. Now, that doesn't mean you don't save. All right? Let's have some wisdom. So when we think about that, prayer is not so much as a channel by which we influence God. Prayer is a channel through which God influences me or us. Give us this day our daily bread. It is we who need prayer, not God. We think God needs prayer. It's us. All right? So when we think about that, prayerlessness leads to pride. And when we have pride, we become blind. Spiritual blindness. When we have pride in our life, it begins to put a wall up.
And see, when we think about that prayer leads to, you know, when we pray, it should lead to humility. It should lead to a spiritual wholeness that we are whole. And see, what I do now, if you come up here this morning and they want me to pray for you, I may ask, hey, what's going on with you? And you may say, hey, you're sick. I'm going to quote some scriptures maybe over you. I'm going to pray. But I'm not going to camp out with you here all day. Now, if the Holy Spirit tells me to, I'll stay here and pray with you. But I am who I am. I have friends of mine that if you ask them to pray, guarantee, man, they're going to spend out. But they have a gift to be a prayer warrior. And what we are doing in church is we're trying to be somebody else instead of who God's called us to be. Come on, say amen. Let's be who God's called you to be. Now, the second part of this is, let's look at verse 12. He says, and forgive our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. The second part, the first part of the prayer is for the body. The second part of this prayer is for our relationships. Now, this is a section that deals with the human soul. And this prayer addresses the need for a cleaned conscience, a conscience that has a sense of peace, a conscience that has a sense of reconciliation of ourselves with God, and not only with God, also with others. And we say, God, I have this with you. And so when we think about that, I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 1, or chapter 8, verse 1, real quick. I'm just going to give you, I have a couple others that you can give the notes later. But look at Romans chapter 1, verse 8. And when we think about it, it says, now there is no condemnation for those who belong to who? So there's no condemnation. If you belong to Jesus, why are we always trying to put condemnation on people? Why are we always trying to, let me just say that this word, one-up syndrome? And I may go and I may look at David and I say, David, man, did you pray this week? And he'll say, yes, I prayed an hour. And the first thing we're going to say is, oh, bless God, I prayed an hour and 1 minute. I beat you. I was at a church service one time, and they was like, I don't know, six or seven people got saved, and a friend of mine, he's another evangelist, and I called him, I said, how was your service? He said, it was great. He said, how was your? I said, man, they was great. Six or seven people got saved. He said, he always seemed like he one-upped me. And every time I would call, if I said 8 or if I said 15, he was always 17 or 9. So finally, I asked him one time, I said, how many of you got saved this week? And he said, well, how many at your service? He was waiting on to tell me, then he was going to one-up me one more time. Why are we doing that? If one person comes to know Jesus in a service, it's worth our time today. If we find out something today, and Charles was teaching on love this morning, if we find out we get love in our heart and we begin to find out that God loves us, he doesn't love sin. But he does love us. And when we get a connection and we find out that God loves us so much that, you know, God, what, God, you're reconciling every relationship. You're beginning to put love in my heart. And you don't look bitter to people. But our human nature, sometimes we want to be bitter. We don't want to forgive. And he says to us, he tells us here, there's no more condemnation to those that are belong to Jesus Christ. So we got to understand that God is taking care of us in our body. He's taking care of us in our relationships. And the third point is, he's helping us to deal with our temptations. Now be honest, how many deal with temptations? Bless God, there's only 10 of you, the rest of you are liars. Because we deal with stuff, all right? The third prayer is to deal with temptation. Look at verse 13. And don't let us lead to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. God is not the one tempting you. The devil is. See, this third area of prayer deals with the spirit. Temptation and testing are, listen to me, you maybe not want to go through temptation and testing, but temptation and testing are necessary for you to grow as a child of God. My son, youngest son Christian, he loves basketball. He's not a big football guy. He doesn't like baseball. He plays at the, you know, he'll pass football. This year, it's his third year of playing football. He is very fast. He's probably one of the fastest boys on our third grade team. He's not very big. He's not got that yet. But I'm just going to be honest with you, he's a sissy. He's a sissy. And so he whines a little bit. We've got three or four of them on the team, and every time I can't understand. We were playing Fairview, which is one of our rival schools, and we called a play, and Shannon or Christian got the ball, and he's not like his older brother. Shannon is a bull, and he can just take hits. But Christian took a hit, but it was a helmet-to-helmet hit. And when I was on the sideline as a coach, and the other two, the offensive coordinator and the head coach, was out on the field, and they motioned to me, come out, and I went out and got him, and looked at him, and he looked okay. I said, son, you okay? And we're all trained to do the concussion test and all that stuff. And so I got him to the sideline. I sent in another running back, and I put Christian on the sideline. I went to get him some water, and I came back, and all at once he was wilted in one of the other coach's arms. And I looked, and his eyes was glassy. I'm like, what? He got hammered. And I've been there. Which is sad, the same school, when I was a sophomore in high school, they got me like that. And I had no idea where I was at. I had the football in my hand. I mean, I was like this, and at halftime, they come out and they said, Kenny, how do you feel? Can you feel like you can go in the football game? And I went, what football game? I had no idea. So I looked at my son, and then he just wilted, and he was on the sidelines, and my heart broke because it's your son. And he's going through it. So I can understand him, like, not wanting to go in there again. So this was his answer. After a week out, he took a whole week off, no football. And we went back, and the offensive coordinator, because he is fast, wanted him to play running back again. And he said, Christian, get in there. And he goes, do I have to run the ball? And he said, well, yeah, if you want to be a running back. He said, I don't want to go. He said, can I play defense? So what he was telling me, instead of letting people hit him, he was going to hit them. So he did learn that. But now he's scared of that. So this year, he is great at basketball. He can literally set, and you can put him from here to there on a 10-foot rim, and we do it all the time. He'll make most of the time 8 out of 10 free throws. And he's one of our best shooters, but he's only in the third grade, and so we played him up on the fourth and fifth grade level. Well, we have two guys that were supposed to be in the sixth grade, but they are still in a fifth grade, and they were held back, and two of them are my size, as sixth graders. So Christian will go about this. He's maybe 4 foot something. I'm not sure exactly how tall he is, but he'll go that. So he can shoot, he can dribble, he can handle the ball. And the very first game we played those two boys, those two big boys are on the same team. And he blocked one of Christian's shots, and Christian done his typical whiny. And so I said, suck it up, son. And he has some good games. He has some games where he struggled, but the physicality of that bigger boys mess with him a little bit. And which is understandable, don't get me wrong, okay? But when we finished up last week and we played for the third place, we played for third place in the league and we won, after the season I looked and I told him, I said, son, see, if he would have played with the first through third grade level, he would have scored 50 points every game. Because he could dribble around them all, he could score at will. Matter of fact, one time when he played with them, the team he was on, we were winning 48-2. And guess who had the 48 points? Him. Matter of fact, I took him out for the last quarter, and we had 3 minutes to go, and the other team scored 4 points. And I had one boy said, you better hurry and put Christian back in. I said, it's still 48-6. Yeah, but we need more points. And this boy is a football guru. He will take out Clint. I mean, and this is what he said. He said, give Christian the ball and I'll block for him. I said, son, this is basketball, not football. And he literally took three boys out one time, blocking. But that was a different mentality. But I told Christian, I said, Christian, see how you got through that and it helped you become a better player. And now it's helped his confidence. But we don't want to go through temptation. We don't want to go through testing. But when you come out on the other side and you say, God was there with me. See, we look at this and we find out that in the unseen war of the Spirit, our greatest need is for God, deliver me. God, protect me. Help me, God. And he says, give me my daily bread. Give us, the food that I need. And we say, God, help us with our sins. help me. So when I thought about that, and I thought about how we pray that we might be kept from, you know, here, this is what I want you to start praying. God, I want you to help me to protect me from unrecognized temptation. Because if we don't recognize it, how can we resist it? And that's where we get in trouble. Sneaking in the back door. Come on. So when I think about that, but temptation, see, is not always easy to discern. I mean, I gave an example in Matthew chapter 26 when Peter, James, and John was trying to pray, you know, and Jesus, and see, they didn't recognize that. A spirit of sleep come on them. How many of you have that problem? You're sitting here going to pray right before you go to bed, and a spirit of sleep comes on you. Come on, be honest. And for a long time, people wanted me to be like them. And they wanted me to get up early. I do not like to get up early. The other day, matter of fact, Mel's birthday was one day this week, and I happened to get up, check Facebook, and I got an announcement. You know, my friends, you know, and I don't always tell everybody happy birthday, but I do my close friends, and I meant to text her happy birthday. Did you all see it? Some of you are looking like, yeah, I don't know what I spelled. She just thought, I'm from Kentucky, I can't spell. It's no big deal. I could have come back and said, I was speaking in tongues praying for you today. But I didn't. I just said, you know, I'm not an early person. And, you know, I just sent that. Spell check. But temptation is not always easy to discern. But listen, when temptation is recognized, it can be resisted. And this is a simple prayer. So listen to this. All three of requests of this prayer shows us that we are always in need, in spirit, in our body, and in our soul. We're in need all the time. So only when we step with the Father and rely on Him to meet our needs is that we are adequately met with the Spirit of God. And I trust the Holy Spirit. I mean, with anything, I mean, has anybody ever, I tease people, when people have been teasing me about my hair, whether you like it or not, it's my hair. I didn't ask you how you fixed your hair this morning. Amen. She's offensive right now. She's looking like, you didn't ask me about my hair. Well, I can't grow afros like that, all right? My hair. But when we are faced with these things and our challenges in our life, quit trying to be like somebody else and start somewhere. Because somebody that's been around and has, and see, and I would try, people say, you got to get up early and pray. And I would get up and like, man, I don't even want to be up early, let alone pray. My daughter is just like me. She, you know, she has a little bit more attitude than I do, but she's not a morning person. And I'm driving her to school, and I look, and she's got a look on her face. So, Morgan, you all right? Yeah. What's wrong? Nothing. And she's got that little attitude. But she's not a morning person. Well, my son, he's 9 years old. He still sleeps with me. He sleeps with me in the bed. He tells me all the time, I said, son, when are you going to go to your bed? I changed rooms. I said, son, you need to go to your bed. He said, why, Daddy? Nobody sleeps with you. He said, I might as well sleep in there with you. And I tell him, what if I want to get me married? He said, I'll still sleep with you. And then I said, no, you won't. But he looks at this and he says this. He says, I'm going to be there with you. And I can say, Christian, time to get up. He pops up, walks down the bed, what's for breakfast? And I'm thinking, man, he ain't had no coffee yet. That's him. But when we fail to pray, listen to me, this is if you get everything out. When we fail to pray, we fail to depend on Him. Whether it's a simple prayer. Four things you can expect from God real quick. I don't even have these on the notes, Bucky. I'm even going to give scriptures for them. But four things. Number one, you can approach God. No matter where you're at, you can approach God. If you want a copy of this, I'll give you a copy or I'll email it to you. You can give me your email address. Number two is you can ask God questions. People sometimes will say, why? You can't ask God questions. Yes, you can. He says, call to me and I will answer. Okay? Third thing is you can receive His forgiveness. And the fourth thing is we can expect Him to keep His word. Lord, meet my daily need. Now, why, you may ask, Kenny, why is that? And maybe it's a little bit different than I'm used to coming here and preaching, and I taught a little bit more than I normally do. But I mean, you know what? I've learned to trust the Holy Spirit. And I've learned, and so I this is what I feel. And Clint, did you done a prayer fasting thing or something first of the year, right? 21 days, I think, in January. How many of you took part of that? Okay, and I'm going to ask a question. I don't mean embarrassed. How many of you didn't take part of it because you felt like you were an inadequate? Some hands raised? You felt like, or you didn't have time. Or you thought, well, if I do that, I can't. But listen, here's what I'm asking you to do. Now listen, I'm just not somebody that's going to come through town, preach this one time. Clint usually has me two times a year. And he's told you, I'm on the board here. It's just not like I'm coming through like some evangelist, going to collect the check, out of here and then never here. I pray for you all daily. I pray for him daily. I pray for her daily. I pray for my friends that are here, this church, this, because why? Why do I pray? I'm connected with you guys. And I hope you do me. Now, whether it's daily or whether it's weekly, monthly, that's great. But what I'm challenging you to do, because I believe, and this is, you know, people want to call it prophetic, but I do believe, listen to me, Believers Church, I want you to listen to me. I believe that this year is a springboard to what God is going to do here at Believers Church. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even planning on even saying that. That just jumped in my spirit just now. I believe this year is going to be a springboard. So listen, pray it. Begin to believe it. Connect. Get with one another. All right, stand with me. Everyone bow your heads. Close your eyes. I want no one looking around this morning, and I'm going to do this real quick. Is there anyone here to sound of my voice that says, Kenny, I don't know Jesus my Savior. I've never prayed to him. I've never done that. If that's you, and say, Kenny, would you pray for me? Raise your hand. Anyone at all? Anyone? Okay, is there anyone here that sounded my voice this morning and listen to me and keep your head bowed? Say, Kenny, this prayer has touched me this morning. This sermon has touched me, and I need to pray more. I need to seek God's face more. I need to pray for daily bread. I need to ask him to forgive me of my sins as I forgive. If that's you, lift up your hand. Be honest. I see that one, that one, that one. Wow, lots of hands. Anyone else? Still wait. I see that one. Anyone else? Man, a lot of hands went up. This is what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to pray a corporate prayer over you. And if you need me to pray for you, I'll be up here. Or I'll be here at my seat. If you want me to come, you can come up here and just ask me to pray. Don't feel embarrassed at all. Grab your neighbor by the hand. As Wesley is praying, and he's playing softly, I'm going to say this prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church. I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Clint and Melanie and the staff, Bob, and all those that work, teach, covenant leaders, people that you've called to be here, and Lord, you have gifted to be here. I pray for the praise team, the children's workers, the youth leaders, and every person helps handing out anything, whatever job they may be doing. It's not a job, Lord. I believe it's a calling. Lord, I pray, Lord, first individually, because there's a lot of hands was raised up when I asked that second question this morning, Lord, about they struggle sometimes with prayer. And I pray, God, that maybe today something I said would help them, to encourage them that they can pray, they can call on you, that you will hear them, that you will speak back to them. But Lord, this morning I believe you have instructed me to come this morning, Lord, to pray for not just individuals, but Lord, as a corporate prayer today for Believers Church. That is this next step, springboard that's going in to the things of the Spirit, things of the things that you have placed in Clint's heart to do as a pastor. I pray, God, we get behind him more than ever before. I pray, God, that the egg drop will be the best it's ever been. I pray, Lord, as they hand out things to the school kids when they start up back next year, that it's going to be more than it's ever been.
I pray, God, the things that I know that are behind the scenes and things that you're speaking to Clint to and to do, God, I pray for this church in a supernatural way. But, Lord, I know he can't do it by himself. And, God, you have sent people here today. You sent them here to this church. And I pray, God, that this year is a year of supernatural increase in every area of this church. And whatever need someone has today, I pray you meet it. Their daily bread. In Jesus' name. Now lift up your hands and begin to praise him. Lift up both hands and say, Lord, I thank you. I receive it. I receive, Lord, your word today. I receive this prayer. I thank you, God, that you're ministering to us through the Holy Spirit. I thank you. I honor you. In Jesus' name.